Okay, I got it. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Okay, thank you. Good.
On the 4th of May. And then it also indicates the number of members who were deployed. Hello. Hello, Honorable Member. Masia?
Yeah, no. Chairperson, we just want to register that I've just consulted with members of the ANC. We are seeing these letters for the first time today. They have not been sent to us.
Okay. You didn't email these letters?
I did.
Huh?
I did email.
You emailed to everybody?
Everybody. I'm checking now.
Can you give us the names of the people you emailed to?
I've got a group email.
Group email. So all members of joint
it
have received.
All members. The last, the 6th and the 17th, I only got the letters, actual letters yesterday, so I emailed it later, yesterday.
Okay.
But the others, they were emailed, I think, Monday. Only the 16th and the 6th I emailed yesterday.
The point, Chairperson, is that we don't have those emails and we don't have the letters, because if the letters are to be emailed, the other method that is consistent is the method of putting those letters in the pigeonholes or giving them to our secretaries. And surprisingly, I'm the whip for this committee. If I myself don't have these letters, both in my email and in my box, and members don't have them, you see, and that is what I'm registering. So the secretary must check with us to see if she's sending them to correct emails, and if the other method of putting them in the pigeonholes was also applied, so that we rectify that mistake.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Member. Do you have a list of people that you emailed here?
It's a group check. Everybody's on that list.
What's the list?
But I didn't print. But I do have a copy. Even on this, the group.
Yeah, Honorable Members, what we will do... We'll make sure in future that you get hard copies well in advance. But the emails have been done. I spoke to the secretary quite early. Today is Thursday. By Monday, she had indicated that she had started to send emails. So while we will... talk to the secretary, we would also request members to check their emails as well. So those would indicate that there are certain letters which have not been emailed. Those would be emailed. We have a list here of honorable members to whom the emails have been sent. So if you send a group email, it goes to everybody. It does not discriminate. But like I say, we'll make sure that the hard copies are sent well in advance.
What we are saying is that it may be possible that the secretary has got email addresses, but some of us don't use parliamentary email addresses. And if that is not rectified, this mistake will continue to happen. with an understanding that she has got possibly my parliamentary email address, and that's not the email address I'm using. I've never opened that email address. You see, so, and hence I'm saying, let us rectify with her if the email addresses she's using is the ones that we are using.
Oh, okay, for the sake of being able to capture properly the particulars of members, can we ensure that the secretary has got the correct office numbers and she has got the correct office extension, the cell phones, and can you please verify with her if she has captured the information correctly? Just to ensure that after sending correspondence, she's able to follow up and call as well. I appreciate the problem that you are raising now, Honorable Masia. Many.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to make an alternative proposal. The secretary of this committee is the tail, not the dog. The secretary, the onus is therefore on the secretary to verify with us whether she has the correct contact details. That's the first point. So I would expect the secretary of this committee to approach every member individually to confirm that she has the right contact details and that she then corrects her group email. That's the first point. The second point is, after doing that, Chair, will the secretary of the committee please repackage these six emails and then send it out to... Sorry, I beg your pardon. Will the secretary please repackage these six letters and then email them to members of the committee?
Okay. Honorable members, we are not going to be running around in circles. All that information will be captured by the secretary. Can we resume the business for the day? So the first correspondence is about the period, the number of personnel, and the TEPOS, which is local government. That is the first correspondence. And the second one, honorable members, it's about the 200 members in service in Mozambique. There is an extension to the 31st of March 2012. Are we together? Hello, Minir.
Chair, we, in respect of the deployment on the southern coast of the Indian Ocean to deter piracy activities in southern Africa, there's a letter on the 17th of June, and you'll also know that there's a letter on the 20th of July dealing with the same operation. What concerns me is that we do know that there's a deployment of one naval frigate on a mission to deter piracy on the east coast of southern Africa. But that cannot possibly explain the deployment of 200 members in respect of the letter on the 17th of June and 377 members on the 20th of July.
Minister, We are dealing with the 17th of June. We'll get to the other one on July. Can you raise questions on the 17th of June?
Then, in respect to the letter on the 17th of June, and I'll make the same point on the 20th, when we get to the letter on the 20th of July, we do know that there was the employment of the SANDF deploying one frigate to conduct anti-piracy operations. That cannot explain, in my view, a total deployment of 200 members. What I would suggest, Chair, is that through you, a letter be written on behalf of this committee to the President, asking him to provide us with further particulars.
Yeah, honorable members, the past week we had an oversight visit in Pretoria, and the Chief of the Navy and the Chief of the South African National Defence Force and a number of other chiefs were there to brief members of the committee about the Somalian problem and the piracy that is beginning to creep to the southern waters and thereby threaten the Mozambican channel, the Maputo, the Madagascar channel, and also it became a threat to the Southern African trade route. So what the general of the chief of the army indicated to us during that briefing, all members of the committee were required to attend to that oversight. And correspondence went out to inform all members of the committee to present themselves to that oversight. The chief indicated that there is a Mozambican ship which was hijacked and rescued by the South African frigate. So the deployment of personnel in that particular area, it is something that we understand as members of the committee due to the presentation that we received from the Chief of the Navy. So there is no need for us to write a letter to clarify that situation because the presentation was done. We spent a period of 5 days in Pretoria interacting with members of the South African National Defence Force. So therefore, this letter of the 17th of June 2011 is well understood by members of the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. Can I get to the third letter, honorable members? The letter on the 19th of July. Oh, yes.
Chair, I don't think you can just simply decide that there's...
Before honorable manner,
okay.
I would suggest that when the matter is open to the meeting, after that matter is open, before the chairperson even respond to the matter, that the chairperson observe the response of the meeting.
Okay.
Before even responding to the matter.
Thank you, Monsieur. Honorable Meneer.
Chair, I don't think it's correct for you to simply say that there's no need for us to ask the President for further particulars. I have a question. I think it's a legitimate question, and this conversation is a very important conversation because we are dealing with a very important provision in our Constitution, And the provision in the Constitution essentially requires that the executive branch of government inform the legislative branch of government about employment of the Defence Force. It's an important provision because it is essentially in our Constitution to prevent what is called executive wars. We do never want a situation like 1974 when the public of South Africa hear on BBC radio that the Defence Force have invaded Angola and are on the outskirts of Luanda. That is why this provision is in the Constitution. Now, my concern about the employment of the Defence Force on anti-piracy operations is valid for the following reasons. First, I support the employment of maritime assets to combat piracy operations. I think the president and the minister have taken exactly the right decision. But what concerns me are the numbers. In both the letter on the 17th of June and also the letter in July, there are fairly substantial numbers of members of the South African Defence Force employed. We only know about a frigate being employed on anti-piracy operations. If you look at the numbers, 200 members and 377 members, it seems to me that there may be other employments which we may not know about. And I'm concerned that there might be, for example, a landward deployment that we don't know about. And if there is a landward deployment, then we need to know about it. That is our job as the oversight authority. All I'm suggesting is that the figures raise a question. And I think it is our duty as members of the Joint Standing Committee on Defence to ask these questions. I might be incorrect, but I still think that we need a proper explanation.
Thank you, Meneer. Masia?
Yeah, Chatasan. My understanding is that this letter comes as to inform the Joint Standing Committee of the deployment. However, I do not agree that the rules suggest that we should go in details in discussing these letters, because if we have to go in detail in discussing these letters, the content of the letters and the details of the deployment may require that we are now dealing with sensitive issues, which may also require that the department itself is here to account to the details in which Honorable Meneer is requesting. And Chairperson, I have got no doubt that you also understand how the rule guides us in discussing these letters. And I would suggest that you present the letters, we recognize the receipt of the letters, and you close it. If we want to discuss the details, that you arrange a meeting which requires that we have a closed meeting, and these letters are discussed in the privacy that is required by the rules.
Thank you, Honorable Masia. Any member? I've noted you, Meneer. Honorable Meneer.
Chair, simply to say that I think that it would be entirely possible for the President to provide us with further particulars and to do so in an open and transparent manner. I'm not asking for details of operations. I'm just simply asking for further particulars in respect of how these 200 and 377 members are divided up by, for example, formation. Are they Army, Navy? I think that we would be able to establish a line which would not compromise national security.
But Chairperson, those are details. Those are details. It depends how you explain the details. But the fact that you will begin to say that our army in this section has been reduced by this number, and this section is reduced by this number, is beginning to talk about details. And we are saying, Chairperson, all we have to do is to recognize and confirm the acceptance of information and move on.
Thank you, Honorable Masia. Honorable Benzila.
Chair, Honorable Chair, the army is a different kettle from other departments. It deals with sometimes very sensitive issues. And the success of the army in dealing with its operations is secrecy. If the army exposes itself, then it weakens its defenses. And therefore, I don't think it will be wise for us to know everything that the army does secretly, that it has, it wants success on that particular issue, operation. Now, therefore, I agree with the Honorable Member Maria that we do not need details when an army has done an operation as sensitive as this, because it involves lives of people who may die if they are exposed to the enemy.
Honorable members, let me close by this subject by saying that one, all members were invited in Pretoria, and we used the security room in Pretoria. We left our cell phones outside, and there was no media, and we received all the briefings about the operations of the Navy with respect to this issue. And that too, we are expecting that all honorable members who were there received the briefing and understand exactly the operations that was undertaken by the South African Navy at that area. And that three, we are not going to be writing a letter to the president to inquire, because the chief of the South African Navy was there to brief us. So we don't think there is a need as a committee to write a letter to the president. However, any member who did not attend the briefing is free, is at liberty to write to the chief of the Navy or to write to the president or to write to the minister to inquire. We have put questions to parliament and so on. You can use any other channel. But the committee is satisfied about the briefing that it received in Pretoria. I close this matter. Now I'll move to Alomenia.
Chair, I obviously disagree with your ruling, but I do respect your ruling. In respect of the briefing in Pretoria, I do not recall anything on the program. I may be wrong. I will be in contact with the Secretary to send me a copy of the program indicating that there would be a briefing by the Chief of the Navy on anti-piracy operations in Pretoria. And I certainly do not recall anything on the program indicating that that would be a confidential briefing. I will be in contact with the Secretary
point
to
of
confirm
order.
That.
Yeah, Chairperson, the point of order is that Honorable Masangwa, representing the DA, was in the oversight
and he was in those meetings. And our view and understanding is that the Democratic Alliance members work as a collective. And it was upon the member who attended for the Democratic Alliance to report to the Democratic Alliance. We can't get into that argument where transfer of information from members of the Democratic Alliance does not happen and the blame comes to the committee.
Meneer?
Chair, the Honourable Monsieur is the Chief Whip of the ANC and on this committee, and I know in that capacity he has enough problems of his own. He doesn't need to worry about the Democratic Alliance. My question, Chair, is about the committee. As far as I recall, there was nothing on the program indicating the Chief of Navy would brief this committee on anti-piracy operations. If that is true, and I'm not sure that it is, I was misled. But I will check the program.
Yes. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think we're going to be rounding in circles around this issue. Whether the program was issued before we went for the oversight, Honorable Maynard, programs do change. We're also not aware that the program will change, but that's what happened. I think Honorable Mazia is correct. If Honorable Masango never briefed you, it's unfortunate because a lot of information that we received, like the Honorable Chairperson is saying that we're in a security room and the program has definitely changed on our arrival. So I don't think some of the things that you're asking, because we're not there, are relevant, especially that briefing that we had with the Chief of the Navy. Thank you. Thank you. Honorable members, what the committee will not tolerate is the conduct of a member of the committee who does not even offer an apology of absence in an oversight committee workshop and come to the committee.
On a point of order, Chair.
Meeting.
On a point of order.
Can you listen to me? Can you listen to me?
No, no. Chair,
Masia, can you listen to me? Masia, I'm sharing the meeting. Masia, I'm sharing the meeting.
I have a right to correct if we are making allegations that are unfounded.
Okay, look, Masia. The three chairpersons, we did not get the two chairpersons of defense of joint. We did not get any apology from Manir. We didn't get that apology.
But the apology was presented to me.
No, it's fine. It was presented to you, but we did not get any apology. So I want you to understand, Honorable Manir, that if the chairpersons did not receive an apology from you and you want to take us back, that will not be allowed in this committee. It won't be allowed. I'm closing this matter, Honorable Members. This is the matter of what? Let's see. The 6th of June, I think.
Chair, on a point of order?
The 17th of June.
Chair, on a point of order?
If you want to speak, Manir, I'll give you permission to speak on something else.
Chair, you've made an accusation that I did not tender my apologies for the meeting in Pretoria. That is the accusation that you've made. That is not correct. First, you will recall that the meeting was a joint standing committee and portfolio committee meeting. I did tender my apologies. I certainly recall
tendering my apologies to the committee secretary, Mandy Bali. I'm almost certain that I CC'd the email to the committee secretary. I would ask the committee secretary to look through her correspondence to confirm whether, in fact, that email was CC'd to her. But I can tell you, Chair, I was in constant communication with Mandy Bali while you were in Pretoria to try and come up on the Thursday or Friday to do the oversight visits on the Waterkloof and one military base. I was in constant communication with her, and she will be able to confirm that. You are factually incorrect, and I ask you to apologize to me.
You see what, Meneer? When we chair meetings, sometimes we start with apologies, you see. Your apology was not presented. There was no apology from you. There was no apology.
Did the committee secretary receive
honorable members, honorable members, the issue of the 17th of June on the deployment of 200 members in Mozambique with respect to the issues of piracy and with the following dates, it's 21st April up to 31st March 2012. It has been extended. That issue I've dealt with. No more questions on this issue. Honorable Masia.
No, Chairperson, I think it is necessary to clear this absence of Honorable Meneer. I personally was not supposed to be on the oversight, given the fact that myself and Honorable Meneer serve in the ad hoc committee for state information. And according to the instructions that we have received from the Office of the Chief Whip, we are not supposed to absent ourselves from that committee. And that committee, during our oversight, was sitting for the entire period of, of recess. It was sitting for the entire period of the recess. Now, even if we may find Honorable Meneer guilty here of not attending the oversight, but Honorable Meneer responded to another responsibility which the conditions are different from the conditions of the committee, because those the conditions of that ad hoc committee is that we have got time frames and all of us are compelled to abandon all our activities and attend to that ad hoc committee. And when Honorable Meneer was sharing that with me, behind my back, I also thought that it is in the knowledge of all chairpersons that members who are serving in that ad hoc committee are exempted from their committee responsibilities.
Honorable members, Meneer had made it clear that he gave his apology elsewhere. But in earnest, I just wanted to indicate to the meeting that that apology was not there when we started the meeting. So he has clarified his position. Can we go on? The letter of the 19th of July. The letter of the 19th of July deals with 100 South African National Defence Force members. And the deployment has since expired on the 31st of March. And the place was the Central African Republic. The other letter, honorable members, is the 19th of July, the next one. This is the deployment of 11 members of the SANDF. And the site of deployment was the Democratic Republic of Congo. then the purpose is also outlined, providing specialist advisory team. And then the deployment has since expired on the 31st of March 2011. And, it has been extended again from April to next year, 31st March. The next deployment, honorable members, was the 12 South African National Defense members to the Democratic Republic of Congo . The purpose is outlined to train the DRC Armed Forces Rapid Reaction Force, and it expired on the 31st of March, and it was renewed. The next letter, honorable members, is on the 20th July. Number of personnel employed is 377. Site of deployment is the Mozambican coast. Purpose is maritime security, to minimize the threat, piracy. That's the period of deployment. So we put the letters before the committee.
I don't wish to revisit this issue. I've made my point, but in respect of the letter dated the 20th of July and in respect of the 377 members deployed on the anti-piracy operation in the SADC, which is a mission that I wholeheartedly support, I still think that we do need an explanation about how it is that the total employment includes 377 members, because we are only aware that one frigate has been employed. And it would seem to me that a figure of 377 members would indicate that there are additional employments that we do not know about. I think there's a duty on our committee to ask for further particulars. You clearly disagree with that position, but I wish to have it on the record. That's the first point, Chair. The second point that I want to make is that the letters raise a question about whether there is substantial compliance with Section 2013 of the Constitution. Now, we obviously have the letters before us, but I do not recall receiving similar letters or notifications from the Presidency in respect of the employment of the Defence Force on the border safeguarding mission or for World Cup 2010. I may be incorrect, but I do not recall receiving similar correspondence. Equally, Chair, the employment of the SAS Drakensberg on a mission in support of,
I think the Department of Foreign Affairs, in respect of the Ivory Coast, does not seem to be included in these letters. I think what I would propose, therefore, is that we ask our committee researcher to look into whether the President officially informed Parliament in terms of Section 2013 of the Constitution of the employment of the Defence Force in the World Cup, the employment of the Defence Force on the border safeguarding mission, and also the employment of the SAS Drakensberg off the coast, off the Ivory Coast, and that we be informed about that, and that the committee, if indeed it is true that Parliament was not informed, then our committee must take a position on how to deal with that matter. But I do think going forward, Chair, we need to monitor compliance with Section 2013 very carefully.
Thank you, Minister.
Victorious is the name, sir. Thank you. Just to follow up on my colleague here on the actual compliance with Section 201. Section 201 of the Constitution is very clear that the President must inform Parliament, and the word that is used is promptly and in appropriate manner on the reasons and the details and so on. So. And then it says further in this in subsection 4 that if Parliament is not sitting, then it must be done within 7 days of the Parliament reconvening after recess. Now, if one looks at the dates on these letters and you compare that with the implementation of the various deployment periods, then it's clear that, well, the question is, in my mind, did the President comply in terms of the Constitution by doing it promptly? And it would appear to me that it didn't comply. For example, the implementation date for 21 April, Parliament is only informed on the 17th of June. 4 May, we only heard about it on the 6th of July. That's the date of the letters. And the ones that started on the 1st of April, Parliament, or the letters were dated only on the 19th and the 20th of July. So I'm asking the question whether, in fact, the President has given full effect to the provisions of the Constitution to comply promptly once he's agreed to deployment. If there's some communication, maybe the researcher of the committee can take that as a further point on the proposal by my colleague here, to give us some view whether this time delay is regarded as promptly or not. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any honorable member? Okay. We'll try to find out if we can be able to retrieve those letters, because those letters did arrive. It's a long time ago, a long, long time ago, they did arrive. And you know that your committee was not functional because in the past you were one bloated committee and you couldn't be able to correct. So what we'll do is to request our researcher and to request our secretary to get us those letters. Thank you, Meneer, and thank you, honorable member. Now, the report of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense on Employment of the South African National Defense Force and SAPS during the local government elections and the extension of the deployment of the SANDF in other countries. The Joint Standing Committee on Defense, having considered the letters from the President on the employment of the South African National Defense Force in cooperation with the South African police to ensure safe and secure local government elections, an extension of the deployment of the SANDF in Mozambique, Waters, Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic, and towards the Southern African Development Community, SADC, Maritime Security, referred to the committee the report that it has concluded its deliberation thereon. Any seconder? Yes, Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the acceptance of these letters that are before us. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable member. Seconda, thank you very much, Manir. We'll sign. Hello.
Chair, we note the letters, but we would like you to, in your report, record our objection for the reasons that we have raised.
The issue that we can raise probably is the question of prompt, but that we can raise with the Office of the Speaker, because what happens is that the letters go directly to the Office of the Speaker. Thank you, Honorable Member.
I think it's a matter of procedure. You need to get a second before you get that objection. We second the reporter.
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you, Honorable Members. We have dispensed with the letters. And,
can I just make a correction? Sorry.
A correction.
The letters that you refer to go to the Speaker is correct, but the dates I refer to are the dates of the letters written by the President's office. So that was the dates on the actual letters submitted or sent by the President's office. So my concern is about the dates the letters leave the Presidency and not when they are received at Parliament.
Honourable Members, let's not get into this issue. I'm really asking us not to get into this issue, because there's a procedure in which letters are sent to Parliament by the President. There's a procedure. So let's not get into this issue and say the Office of the Presidency has done 1, 2, 3. Let's not do that. Unless if members at a certain stage want us to get the state law advisors to come and explain to the committee as to how the procedure takes place, you see. So maybe in future we should do that. But otherwise, if we say the Presidency faltered and did not follow the letter and the spirit of the Constitution in informing Parliament, therefore the deployment was illegal, that would be incorrect. That would be incorrect. Let's not get there. If members want the assistance of the state law advisors, we will get the state law advisors to explain the process. Honorable Masia, you are noted, Chief.
Yeah, Chairperson, I want to bring to the attention of the committee that the argument of acceptance of rejection of the reports or the letters. The status of the meeting does not allow the joint today to go to that level, because the joint is not correcting. So I just want to bring it to attention, Chairperson.
Minir, you have something to say?
Chair, the Honourable Monsieur is obviously correct. We are not quorate, and so his point is entirely valid. Just on our objection, there is the objection in request of in respect of promptly. There is also, subject to the findings of our researcher, the question about whether Parliament has in fact been informed of all employments, including the employment on border safeguarding World Cup 2010 and the employment of the SAS Drakensberg. And Chair, I do think that your suggestion that perhaps we get a legal opinion based on the letters before us as to whether the Presidency has substantially complied with 201 of the Constitution, I think that would be very helpful indeed.
It takes us to the same point that you initially have raised, that this committee was not able to function for the mere fact that it could not sit. Even today, the powers of this committee of registering the points that Honorable Manier is identifying is not going to help, because those areas that he is identifying, it is the committee that has to accept his objection and realizing that we do not correct. We don't have status. All we have to do is to acknowledge what we have before us and convene another meeting that will then resolve on these matters that he is raising or all the other matters that we are raising. So for now, Chairperson, I would suggest that we continue with the business of the day, because we can't leave things out. We continue with the business of the day for purposes of information to the committee, so that the committee ultimately functions as it is expected to function.
Okay, honourable members, let's do this. Let's get the reports from our respective chief whips about the process that has been undertaken to ensure that the committee is able to meet. The chief whip of the majority party probably should be able to liaise with the chief whips of the other opposition parties. This committee, according to the constitution, was consisting of 40 members, but there has been a reduction of members of this committee. So the full complement of the committee right now stands at 17 to 18 members. And the quorum would be 50% plus one. That would be the quorum currently. So this is the understanding that we received from the Office of the Chief Whip. And any member of the committee who does not have information about the interventions that were done to ensure that the committee becomes functional, we can assist members in the next meeting to bring a full list of complement of members and also the report from the Chief Whip's office to ensure that the committee is functional. There's been a lot of work done behind the doors to ensure that the committee becomes functional. So you correct, honorable members. There are 3 members of the NCOP and 7 members of the National Assembly. And the quorum would be, if you say 18, it means you have to be 9 plus 1, that is 10. So if you are 10, it means you duly correct. You can be able to take decisions. You can be able to discuss. You can be able to make recommendations and so on and so on. So you do correct. Thanks, honorable members. We'll try to assist honorable members in the next meetings with respect to those issues. Can we get to the program, honorable members? Do all members have copies of the program? Okay. Mm-hmm. some of the issues are issues which we have dealt with. Those are alternate members. We don't count alternate members. We count full members. Do we have copies of the third program? Third term? All this is work that is under the bridge. 2nd August to 3rd August, the workshop with the department in Pretoria. 4th, 5th August, oversight visit, Waterkloof and Tabatswane. 25 August. And the 1st of September. Oh, August. That's September, honorable members. What has come to our notice about the issue of special pensions is that there has been the amendment of the legislation on special pension to accommodate those who were 35 in 1996. Now, as a result, the Special Pension Act has been amended by the Finance Committee some time ago. Therefore, it was incumbent upon the Special Pension Office to ensure that they inform members who are duly beneficiaries of special pension. But subsequent to that, the Special Pension Office has been dragging its foot. They haven't informed personnel to the extent to which we had wished. And as a result, there's a very strong possibility that a number of combatants, most in particular from the non-statutory forces, would fall by the wayside and not benefit. So the deadline is said to be December. Now, what we wanted to do was to engage with members of the special pension because we want to check with them what newspapers did they advertise on, what means of communication did they employ, and to try if the December deadline, from where we're sitting, we think it is not realistic and it is unfair to most combatants. So the committee might have to review the December deadline to ensure that the members who are eligible do get the benefit. And then the other issue is it's just the briefing on the NSF. We did get the briefing in Pretoria, but it is the issue of being able to tighten the loose ends with respect to non-statutory force pension, NSF pension. Again, this was the type of pension that you used to buy. You buy your pension, you make a contribution, and then the state would also be able to make its own contributions. You contribute a third, and then the state would contribute something like 2/3 or 3/3. So it has come to light that the members of the force have not been capable of buying back their pension. Those who tried to do that found that it was quite expensive and exorbitant. Now, the ministry has made a rethink on the issue of the non-statutory forces with respect to the issue of NSF pension. Therefore, the presentation will take place and we'll be able to understand the extent to which the changes are going to benefit members of the non-statutory forces. And then, if possible, honorable members, we will try to even go for oversight in Pretoria in order to interact with actual personnel at the pension office, just to look at the backlog of applications and whatever problems they have, so that we can be able to assist to make sure that a lot of deserving non-statutory force members across the country become beneficiaries. Honorable Tavisa.
In respect of the briefing by the Department on Special Pension, I would assume that the special pension does not fall under the Department of Defense. So I think it's not my responsibility, therefore, to
finance.
Yes.
And partly human resource.
Okay. From our side, I mean, it's about the members of the force.
That's right.
But the the point I'm really saying is that it's administered by National Treasury, and they would have those answers, not us, about the delays and the procedures and processes.
That's correct, Honorable Member. Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe to add, I think really it's not just to make a follow up. It can be the Defense Department. We need to go straight to Treasury.
That's what we are doing. Yeah.
Yeah, because as we are doing that, I see members of the we are saying department, and it's not clear which department are we talking about here.
Oh, okay.
It's the same as if we are talking about the...
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
That's right. No, that will be clarified. No, thanks very much, Honorable. So, no, thank you very much. I don't know how to refer to you.
You're promoting me.
And then we'll be having the report on oversight. We haven't adopted our minutes, have we? Huh? Why don't you add the minutes as well? Minutes of the committee. That is the third term program, fourth term program. October 20. Huh? Oh, no. see two more. Do we all have copies, honorable members? October 20 is Chief of the Army. The Defense Review and the White Paper have employed the SANDF to transform the non-statutory forces, their PAC and all those other people, and the former SADF, they're supposed to come together and form one South African Army, one South African Defense Force. Now we continue to to engage the various sectors of the SANDF, the Air Force, the Navy, and so on, just to check on progress with respect to the demography in the various positions, the leadership, the middle leadership, and the lower rank, and generally the improvement of the conditions of personnel and opportunities that are available for them to participate in the force. So 20 October will be with the Chief of the Army. Chief of the Army. And then the Chief of the Air Force, Khakhian, that will be 28 October. And then Chief of the Navy, that will be the 1st of November. So if for the remaining part of the year we can be able to do just these two important things. The first one is ensure that the non-statutory forces are able to register, to apply for special pension. Those were discarded by the age. If we can be able to achieve that, to ensure that the process becomes all-embracing. And then the last one for the year, if we can be able to engage structures of the DOD with respect to transformation and so on and so on. Those probably could be the two challenges that we can be faced with before we conclude the year. Any seconder for the adoption? Any mover for the adoption? That's the mover. Any seconder? Honorable member? Hello, I want a mover, Honorable Minier. Okay, comment.
Chair, we're obviously running out of time, and I think when we discuss the program of the committee, there's a broader question which we do need to address at some point. And that is we have to answer the question, what is the role of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, and what is the division of labor between the Joint Standing Committee on Defense and the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans? I'm not sure that we've properly established the roles of the various committees and the division of labor between the two committees. Suffice to say, I am not satisfied with the functioning of this committee. And I believe that effective oversight of the Defense Force has, in my view, collapsed.
Honorable Meneer, can you just hold on? Honorable Meneer, can you just hold on? Any member who wants to add any other issue on the agenda, we will entertain it. If Meneer wants us to discuss the issue of the functions, no problem. Let's just conclude the business of the day. And then, Meneer, I'm still chairing this meeting. Let's just conclude the business of the day. So we will dispense with the program. And as soon as we are done with the program, we can look at this issue that Meneer is raising. And then we will request our researcher to make a brief input, because we had a workshop about this issue of the mandates and so on. We referred the honorable members to the white paper, to the review, to the constitution. We made copies. Those who don't read, I mean, it's up to them. Honorable members, can we deal with the adoption of the program?
Chair, on a point of order, I have a point to make about the program.
Meneer, do you want to make a point about the program?
I do want to make a point about the program.
Okay, go on.
The point that I want to make about the program, the preliminary point is the role. Once we've settled the role, that then will determine the program.
Okay,
but Chair,
you're out of order on the program. Meneer, you're out of order on the rules. You're out of order.
Chair, I'd like to make a point about the program.
Yeah, can you make it after we are done with the adoption of the program?
Well, I don't want us to adopt the program and then for me to make it.
You can abstain.
Well, then I don't have
to.
Or
you can vote again. Honorable member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to move for the adoption of the program.
Thank you, honorable member. Any seconder? Chief, thanks, honourable member. The program is duly adopted, and it will be sent over to the office of the speaker and the relevant chairpersons of the two committees. Yeah, you can go on now, Minister.
Chair, I would like to lodge my objection to the program of this committee on the grounds that my several letters to the joint chairperson of this committee, the Honourable Jerome Marquet, on exactly this point, making suggestions about the program, have not been acknowledged by him, have not been responded to by him, have not been acknowledged by the committee secretary, and have not been responded to by the committee secretary. Now, if you don't want my input into this program, then just tell me.
Honorable members, a researcher, you'll come in about the workshop that we had and the material that you distributed. And then even in Pretoria, you had a package, correct, that you distributed with respect to the roads, correct? That's right. Let me say about the program, honorable members. Let me say about the program, honorable members, that we don't have the minutes here. In one of the meetings, we requested members to provide us with information and suggestions on the program. And Honorable Meneer suggested how many issues? Two or three. Honorable Meneer suggested two or three issues, one of which was the NC. What do you call it, NCCA or NC? That's right, whatever that NC, about arms and so on. So Honorable Meneer suggested that particular thing. And then, okay. And then Honorable Menier provided those issues. We got those issues from Honorable Menier and we inserted them in our program. And our program embraced those issues. We discussed the NCC and so on, and another issue. And then we discussed those issues. They were in the first quarter and second quarter program, if I'm not mistaken. Now, if any other member of the committee wishes to make further proposals to the program, it's not a problem. Members are at liberty to make contributions. So it's unfortunate that Honorable Menier has forgotten the fact that he had actually received acknowledgement from me. I actually thanked him for the submissions that he had made. It was quite early in the year, you see. So if Honorable Menier wishes to make more submissions, it's not a problem. We take the submissions, you see. You have forgotten, Honorable Menier.
Chair, I mean, with respect, you do not seem to be informed about what is going on in your own committee. I have made several submissions since my previous submissions, and I would like the committee secretary, to confirm that she has received correspondence copied to her in this respect. It would seem to me that she is not bringing this correspondence to your attention. I have made submissions in respect of a further meeting with the NCACC. I have made submissions in respect of a hearing on Squadron 21, the VIP squadron, and the acquisition of the Embraer VIP jets. I have made a submission in respect of a hearing on the National Youth Service Training Program in the military. I have made a submission asking for your assistance in resolving the fact that the Ministry or the Department of Defense are unable or unwilling to deal with the 50 or so complaints that I have lodged with the Department. I have not received any acknowledgement or reply to those letters, and I'd like the Committee Secretary now to confirm that she, in fact, is in receipt of copies of those letters, and that you are not informed about those copies. I have to be clear that the letters were not addressed to you. They were addressed to the co-chair, the Honorable Jerome Marque.
Okay, Honorable Member, can you first confirm the fact that the first sets of submissions that you made were actually embraced in the first and second quarter?
Can confirm that, and I thank you for that, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Researcher.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure what you expect me to say, because we've had a workshop in M46 where Marianne, Nell, myself, we made suggestions as to how the functions of the joint and the portfolio committee should be split. And I can only email those documents again. So I don't know what else you can do with regards to that.
It is the same thing that the state law advisors, the same proposals that you made in 2006. There's nothing different. So what you should do is to make sure that don't email them, package them. Make sure that the secretary gets them and then package them to the pigeonholes of each and every member. And then let's get a list of all those who have received them. I don't want us to go back. We have had a workshop. It is part of the minutes and the records of the committee. Is there any other issue, Honorable Members? Honorable Minister?
Chair, just finally, on the question of the oversight visit to Pretoria and Johannesburg,
Through you, I would ask if the Secretary would distribute copies of any documents made available during that oversight visit. I have made that request before and not received the documents. The second thing is, I wonder if the Secretary would resend me the program that was distributed to members prior to that oversight meeting. I wish to scrutinize that program to find out whether, or to see whether, in fact, there's any indication that the Chief of the Navy would provide a confidential briefing on anti-piracy operations. And I wish also then for the Committee Secretary to check her correspondence and to check the correspondence of the Committee Secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans to see whether, in fact, I lodged an apology for not attending that week. I was dealing with the Protection of Information Bill.
Okay, no problem. Honorable members, let's make sure that we work as a team, first and foremost. And secondly, let's make sure that we follow up on our apologies. It becomes unfortunate for an honorable member to offer an apology. And when we commence a meeting, the apology is not received. You see? That becomes very unfortunate. But one other thing is that let's not also choose the type of meetings that we attend. Once a meeting is set by joint to be attended by members, let's all attend. Irrespective of whether it might be talking about things that you do not have interest in, you are a member of this committee. You must attend, and you've got all the right to participate. Thank you for your attendance, honorable members. The meeting stands adjourned. Oh, sorry, ma'am.
Lord Chairperson, I was just making a proposal that in our every meeting, for this thing, to resolve this thing of apology, we have open and welcome apologies. Because if we do those things, they are going to appear on the next minute, and the honorable member could see that the apology were not mentioned in the portfolio meeting. Thank you.
That's right. That's right. You're correct, Honorable Member. We didn't receive apologies right now, except the apologies of Honorable Members who left us. The only one that we received was from... was Honorable Maki and Honorable Mabeza. Yeah. You see now, at the end of the meeting, you're giving me apologies. And then we received your apology, Honorable Member, that you are going to come late. And I also received the apology of Honorable Mufukeng that he will arrive late. But otherwise, thanks very much, Honorable Members, for your attendance.
Going to post the stuff on the net. Probably the end of the day.
Either end of the day today or early tomorrow.
Okay.
That's all then.
Okay.
Well,